Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, in a crazy world that we're living in, there's all kinds of disorders. The newest one that I just heard about is the election stress disorder, because the election's right around the corner. Oh my gosh, don't we all need some sort of a coach? Well, today, we've got ourselves a wellness coach. This guest right here is going to use me as her guinea pig. Her name is Alana Kessler. She is the founder of Be Well by Alana Kessler, BeWellByAK.com on the web, a registered dietitian. She has, a list of amazing things that she's done in her life here. She's an expert registered yoga teacher through Yoga Alliance. She's got a bachelor's and a master's of science in clinical nutrition. This list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I'm telling you right now, this is the kind of coach I need, because I just got done eating teriyaki beef and a gigantic side of avocado fries. And so I think that my diet, I mean, you deal with people's everything, their total package, from energy, the energy of life itself, to what they eat, to the health and physical side of it. And so, first of all, Alana, I love your name. It's my name with an A on the end, Alan with an A. So, Alana, I was going to name my daughter that, but my wife said no, she wanted Rebecca. And now my daughter, I told you this at the beginning, my daughter's about to give birth, and I'm going to insist that this is her name, Alana. So I may not win, but I'm going to try. Okay, so can we just start there? I'm reading through the news, and there is a new disorder called election stress disorder. And there's all kinds of, you know, external stresses that are on people, from this whole COVID-19 pandemic, of course, this election that's coming up, marriage, business, children, you know, whatever it is, life, you know, just you name it, people have a lot of stress. And I think that, you know, I know that you do a lot with food, because I was looking at your website, and people go the wrong direction with food, and it's a guilty pleasure. I mean, I'll give you an example. I just told you about my lunch, so you already know I had a big, big lunch. But anyway, every night I sit down, and I have a craving for ice cream. It's like, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And my wife literally says to me last night, I'm munching on an Eskimo pie, and she says, give me a bite of that. I go, no, go get your own. And she goes, I just want a nibble. I go get your own. I want the whole thing. Anyway, it was really funny, but she says, you know what? These are becoming a real problem for you, because I've been pounding on the weight. And I noticed that a lot of my friends are complaining about the same thing. We are dealing with stresses that we have not ever dealt with. I mean, the COVID virus, this election that is just going wackadoodle, you know, business that is affected by both the COVID and the election. And so all of a sudden people are, you know, sequestered to their homes. They got to wear masks. I mean, we are dealing with some crazy shiznit right now that a lot of people don't have the answers to. But I was talking to you just briefly before we got going here. I love your kind of your life is energy, and you look at life differently than most. So I think that you're going to be a helpful coach in people's lives in this crazy world. So give the world 1 minute of who is Alana Kessler and what does she want to tell the world?
So Alana Kessler is a woman from New York City who just loves the process of living and the messiness of it and the opportunity to help people just navigate the mess that is life, you know, and the transitions and all the ways that we absorb energy in the world, whether that's our food, whether that's our relationships, whether that's our environment, and really just help people understand and relate to themselves and others in a way that yields joy and a way that yields balance, and helping people to just find this sense of harmony amidst chaos. And I feel like it's not about pushing away chaos. It's about renegotiating a relationship to the chaos and creating these anchors of wellness that help to provide stability that you need from the inside so that you don't really have to manage the outside as much as you think you do in order to create a sense of calm.
Well, guess what? Your student is on the other end of this line. It is the mess that is called Alan Taylor. And I hopefully that you can give me some advice. And I think that the listeners will benefit also. Alana Kessler, it is Be Well by AK.com on the web. You should check out her website. She's going to try and diagnose Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
Tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Shot through the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Oh my, I think they're talking about me. You give love a bad name. I gotta tell you, life sucks lately. Who's with me on that? I know. But I do love Eskimo pies. I've been getting into this food thing. I'm gaining weight like crazy. All my fat pants don't even fit me, Alana. Alana Kessler joining us, registered dietitian, yogurt. I love yogurt too. Yoga expert. You kind of do it all. You have a 360-degree approach. But where do we start? Nutrition, yoga, meditation, spiritual psychology, alternative wellness methods. What do you got for Alan Taylor? He's a mess. He's a hot mess. Sorry, I had to say that.
Oh, man.
I know.
Alan.
Really?
Let me help.
Okay, please. So where do we start? I mean, look, let's try and talk about the stress of the world today. I mean, do people really know how to deal with stress? I mean, we go to food, we go to drugs, we go to alcohol, we get into, you know, sex, whatever. Look at people, they escape from the pain of their life one way or another. There are very few people that sit quiet. And let's just start with meditation. I will tell you, Alana, I've interviewed thousands of people. I'm 60 years old. And when I find a really, really interesting person, I go, so what is your escape? What do you do to be able to find that calmness you need as a leader to make good decisions? And they usually will go, I meditate. It's like, boom. It's like the go-to thing. How big in your life, in your world, in the world of Be Well by AK.com on the web, uses meditation?
Huge. Meditation is huge. However, I don't think meditation is only sitting on a cushion and, you know, sitting for a half an hour. To me, it's about a meditative attitude, not so much about the act of meditation. I think that's how meditation can really influence and change your life and keep you grounded. If you can apply the values and the insights and some of the inquiries that meditation offers you, as well as the anchors in your life day to day, without feeling like you ever have to leave your life in order to meditate.
So if I can ask, meditation then is kind of like just a centering point, because you're saying it's not the silver bullet. It's obviously takes more than just the act of the meditation. It takes a commitment. You're calling them anchor points. Maybe you could expand on that.
Yeah. So it's really about collecting applicable tools. So when you think about meditation, initially, when you start meditating, you focus on an object and it centers your mind and it gets you to concentrate. And then from that place of concentration that's one-pointed, you then start to include in other stimuli like, you know, sounds and body sensations and feelings and emotions that then you can explore. But at the end of the day, your strong anchor point of concentration is so rooted that you won't get buoyed out of yourself when you go and explore things like sounds and emotions and, you know, basically stresses, essentially stimulus stress, you know, kind of same idea. And essentially it's about creating that sense of concentration and groundedness within yourself at all times, not just when you sit on a cushion and meditate, but it's about what I like to call laminating or installing that type of operating system into yourself and downloading, I always say this to clients, and downloading the different apps that you need mm-hmm. in order to service your higher aspiration of calmness, of managing transitions. And so it's an attitude.
All right, hold tight. This is going to get complex, everybody. Hold on. We're dealing with the hot mess that is Alan Taylor. Alana Kessler helping me out here. Meditation, not the silver bullet, but it is one of the components, one of the tools that you will use, that I've been using. We'll see what else there is. Stay with us. Entrepreneur Weekly. The kind of thing that you must understand. I'll tell you one thing, you tell me, and maybe we walk away, maybe then shake hands.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Man, life is so complex. What the living hell? And it's not getting easier. I thought as I got older, it would get easier. It doesn't get easy. It doesn't even get easier to get out of bed in the morning. My bones are cracking and my ankles are hurting. My wife listened to my show the other day and I mentioned this and she goes, all right, you got to start eating differently. All those Eskimo pies aren't doing you any good. So, Alana Kessler joining us. Be Well by AK. Be Well by Alana Kessler. Be Well by AK.com on the web. I hope that everybody appreciates the time that you're giving here because this is not a silver bullet situation. It needs a life reboot. When you're looking at changing the way you are, you really have to look at all things in your life. And you said when I was talking to you before we got on the radio here, life is energy. And you look at everything, nutrition as energy and music and sound as energy. So I like the whole meditation thing because it takes so much to get me to shut my brain down from the noise that is life. The news, the election, the COVID, the friends, the family, the things I'm missing out on. I went to the movies the other night. We were the only people in the movie theater. I felt very awkward. I thought, somebody's going to see us going in here. This is not right. It's like your brain starts freaking out like you're doing something wrong when you're not. So the idea is quiet the mind. All right, so let's go to these other tools that we were talking about before we got interrupted by the commercial break. Where do we go?
So I think really essentially it's coming to terms with your direct experience. That's really, I think people resist their direct experience because they're worried that if they actually admit they're anxious or if they admit they're overwhelmed or if they admit that they're struggling with some sort of, negative sensation, that if they actually turn towards it, it's going to overtake them and they're never going to get out of it. But essentially, what I help people to understand is that by turning towards the anxiety that COVID is creating or turning towards whatever is going on in your direct experience, whether that's the election or whether that's a relationship or whether that's your body or whether that's, whatever it is, the more honest and the more clear and the more willing you are to come face to face with that, it's disarming. And essentially, what we really want to do in life is be the most disarmed that we can be. But we're scared that if we disarm ourselves, we will be taken advantage of. This is just like a natural thing. And the irony is that by walking around the world really protected, we end up creating protective behaviors like addictions, like eating the Eskimo pie.
Come on, I like them.
Yeah, of course. And then, what we like it, but it's like, are we actually living in alignment with our higher aspiration from our heart? You know, and do we even know what that is anymore? Or are we just kind of walking around protecting ourselves from, you know, not being disseminated from the world, you know? And it becomes this chicken or egg thing. But how I help people is to really get in touch with, you know, the truth of their heart and help them become less afraid of some of the negative emotions that might be living underneath certain addictions or certain behaviors. You know, a lot of people walk around angry a lot because it's much easier to be angry than to be scared.
Yeah.
So I really help people deal with and relate to more vulnerable emotions that are typically underneath a lot of behaviors that people try to fix through external factors. And that's essentially what I spend most of my time doing these days.
So I called you a wellness coach. How do you describe yourself to people? You sound like a psychologist that I would go to if I had emotional problems, which most of us do. But really, I mean, you, we talk about yoga and meditation and, you know, I mean, all these things that are kind of wrapped into what you do. So what do you call yourself?
That's a really good question. I've been thinking about it for a bit. Lately, I've been calling myself an intuitive nutritionist, which basically I think encapsulates what I do, which is whenever I meet someone or I'm connecting with someone new, and I'm a very good energy reader, and I really just intuit and read their energy. And most of my consults are on video because there's so much that you can hear and learn about somebody based off of what they don't say, not just of what they do say with their words. So a lot of how I coach people and help them is by what they tell me and also what they don't tell me. And that's my intuition. And nutritionist, because I do nutrition to me, like I said earlier, is food, is your relationship, is your interaction with your environment. It's anything that you absorb into your mind, body, and heart is nutrition for me. And I take my intuition and I help to alchemize a strategy and a map for people that is adaptable and malleable, but also really grounded and ultimately comes from the inside out. It comes from them.
All right.
So I try to understand what they're, you know, what they want.
Let me have you dissect me a little deeper. This is the Eskimo Pie Chronicles here on Entrepreneur Weekly. Hopefully I can get to the bottom of my insatiable appetite. I love Eskimo Pie!
Very superstitious. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, so I'm overweight. I'm underpaid. Where do I start, Alana? Alana Kessler with us. Be Well by Alana Kessler. On the website, it's bewellbyak.com. I don't know. I think I'm at least 30 pounds overweight. And yet I keep on, you know, noshing my way into an early grave. And, you know, it's funny when I think when people think about these entrepreneurs, these successful entrepreneurs, they see them as being really fit people. And a lot of times you will find out that they are not really fit people, not really healthy people. They've worked themselves to death. They've not taken good care of themselves. They've not been conscious of how they were affecting others. You know, they were just driven. And I don't want to be that way. I was that way. I was that way for a long time, just absolutely driven. And I've always had kind of an issue with weight. I think a lot of people live their lives that way. I'm always feeling like I'm, you know, at least 20 pounds overweight. And I'm on TV every year for a week in New York on ABC. I do this fun thing with Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest. And every year I can lose that 20 pounds, but I'll tell you what, before the week is over, I'm back to, you know, getting a nice slice of New York pizza, and then I eat the whole bloody pizza, if you know what I mean, instead of just a slice. But food is my drug. A lot of people, I've never smoked, I've never drank, I've never done drugs. I don't live that kind of life, but I'm a foodaholic. You know what I mean? Yeah, I love food.
I do.
I eat too much. I eat the wrong things. And I'm married to a woman who is a nutritionist. She's constantly, everything is thoughtful and measured and greens and salads. And I'm like, you want some of this? That's why when she asked to eat a bite of my Eskimo pie, I'm like, you don't even want it. You just want to get it away from me and you're going to run, you know? So, you know, what do you say to people when they come to you and they're just like Alan Taylor? They're overweight, unhealthy, unhappy. Where do you start with these people? I mean, act like I'm one of, let's just say I am one of your clients. What do I do, Alana?
So the first thing I would say is you're telling me all this about you, that you're 30 pounds overweight and you're so, this is what you're telling me. But I guess what I would ask you is, how do you feel about it?
It sucks, to be honest.
But what does it feel like for it to suck? What do you feel like sucks about it?
Okay, if I was to use a word, shameful,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
I should be smarter than this. I should be wiser than this. And why am I not? Why can't I control myself? Why am I so weak when I pretend, and I'll use that word. I'm very transparent. Pretend to be such a strong guy. I am a strong guy. I can pick up a car if I have to, but I can also eat 3 Eskimo pies if nobody's looking.
Mm. What do you think is wrong with Eskimo pie?
There is damn nothing wrong with them. Just in excess. It's like eating a dozen bananas. You're going to crap yourself to death, you know? There's something wrong with anything in excess, right?
Right. So what is making you eat the Eskimo pie to excess?
Hmm. All right. You're asking me to think here. Frustration.
Mm.
It's a way of forgetting the truth of what's going on in the world today. What's going on that things I can't do anything about. The election, the COVID-19, the wearing of masks or not, the having to stay home or not, having to not be able to go to church, having not be able to go to the stores you want because they're going out of business. Things I can't control. Frustration.
Right. Completely. And that makes so much sense. I would ask you, though, what other things make you feel good besides eating? What else do you like to do?
I like to see my kids and my grandkids. I like to I like to work on my tractor. I have a new tractor. Oh, I love being on my tractor. You know, my friends say, you know, there's a, you know, be still and know, you know, the saying, be still. My friend says, you know what? He goes, my meditation is be still and mow. So, and I go, yes, I got a new tractor. I got a mower on that baby. I get it. It's a meditation. It's quiet. It's being able to put the intellectual side of your mind to work. And the spiritual self, you know what they say, when the hands are at work, the mind is at ease. So that's why I threw myself into working like so many entrepreneurs do. We throw ourselves into work because it distracts us from the pain that we have in our life. Some people, they take drugs. Some people eat Eskimo pies. Some people go and work. I've usually been the worker guy, so I balanced it pretty well. I could easily be 150 pounds overweight. I have friends that are huge, you know, and I could see myself in that person, you know?
Yeah, for 100%. But there's a place when you're about to take that second piece of Eskimo pie or you're about to go into your workaholic, there is this more intelligent, the higher part of you that knows that you're choosing that over something else. So what would the something else be?
Oh, what would the something else be? Boy, and I think maybe a lot of us are afraid to know the truth about that. You know that movie where the guy says, you can't handle the truth. A lot of us can't handle the truth, right? So I don't
know. Well, a lot of us don't know because we weren't taught to know that. And that's the scary part, is that we just haven't developed that other side. So rather than admitting that it's not a trained up thing that we've done, we haven't installed that app into our operating system yet. We'd rather just continue to just install so many other apps that are just taking us in other directions to avoid the simple truth that we haven't explored that yet. And the irony is that we have all these outside things, which I love, like yoga and meditation, but without acknowledging that we're scared of what we don't know or we haven't developed or trained up yet, we end up creating those things into these go, you know, really kind of outcome-oriented, workaholic-style things. Even though technically yoga and meditation are all about calming the mind, the way we approach it doesn't change, because unless we look at what we're scared to see, that we just don't know something or it's not familiar and it's not trained up, we're just going to keep repeating the same patterns of how we do everything. It's like how you do one thing is how you do everything. It doesn't matter if that thing is yoga and meditation.
Right.
Or it's the healthiest food.
Yep. You know? All right. Well, I'm talking with my wellness coach. I'm going to call her my wellness coach. She's trying to help me be well. Is there a spiritual part of this equation? So many pieces and parts to the human creature. Alana Kessler dissecting the hot mess of Eskimo, melted Eskimo pie that is Alan Taylor. You guys can find her at bewellbyak.com on the web. And you know what? Truly, I want to know. I want to know. I want to be a better man every day. I want to live in humility. I want to be grateful for my life, which I feel like I am. But these Eskimo pies, they've got me. Got their hold on me. I can't help myself.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
This is Entrepreneur Weekly. I am just a regular guy, a regular old man full of all kinds of flaws. Yes, I've got some bad habits. I've got some good habits. My new friend, Alana Kessler, bewellbyak.com on the web, my new wellness coach, trying to dissect this crazy guy. I don't know that it's possible. Let's talk about adapting and adjusting in today's cultural climate. Because that's another one. The whole, you know, I'm afraid to say it, but, you know, Black Lives Matter. Okay, I said it. This whole climate of we're afraid of what comes out of our mouth. We're afraid to comment on things. So it's another part of this, you know, what they're calling the election stress disorder or the COVID disorder. You know, all these intellectual or how do we even define what these things are that are psychological, that are playing on us? The world has not had to deal with these things in, I don't know, 75 years since World War II, probably. You know, there was some crazy stuff that went on then. But can we talk about, you know, nutrition? Why do you feel like it's such an important part of it? You are a registered dietitian, too, which is a big part of your life. Why food? I mean, what's wrong with an Eskimo pie every hour or two? Now and then.
There's nothing wrong with an Eskimo pie every now and then, for sure. It's more about your relationship to the food than anything else. Like, why are you having the Eskimo pie? Do you understand your motivation behind it? Is it inspired by something you're trying to avoid, or are you actually enjoying it? And if you love Eskimo pie and you're having it, can you allow yourself to savor that joy without feeling guilty?
No, I know it's like change. Smoking. It's like, it's literally like smoke. I know I've never smoked, but I watch people that smoke and I say to them, why do you smoke? It's like, they're like, why do you eat so many, you know, freaking Eskimo pies? I'm like, I don't eat that many. But the point is that we both look at each other and we both know that we're running from something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're covering it. We're masking it. What are we masking? Why? What are we not dealing with? I mean, I know it's not a what. It's really, it's more the why. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's what are you not willing to see? What are you not willing to feel?
Or deal with?
What are you scared of?
Right.
Yeah. And then getting into the why can be interesting for some people because maybe they haven't looked at their history or things in their past that might be subconsciously influencing, you know, certain ways that their brain reacts to things. And the brain is smart. So the brain is smart in the sense that it protects us from things that it thinks are dangerous for us. And we often don't know that it's doing it. We just are living out its ways a lot of times. So it's trying to understand the why and making those connections, what I like to call blind spots, that lead to limiting beliefs, that lead to behaviors. The behaviors are usually the last layer of the blind spots and the limiting beliefs that end up influencing how you relate to your life. And there can be so many different ways that we rationalize different things. And there can be things that didn't necessarily feel bad at the time to us on a conscious level, but on a subconscious level did make us feel bad, but we were too young to know that happened. And then we created a construct around that. And that has influenced our life too. And sometimes only starts to reveal itself once we're triggered by uncertainty, and once we're triggered by lack of safety, and once we're triggered by constant stimuli, which has been the culture for a really long time, like social media and now the election, just constant things. And we're not trained how to field these types of things. And if we don't understand how and why we got somewhere, we're just going to be living out of these constructs and the way that we've been conditioned, you know, our old conditioning. And if that is food as a soothing mechanism, or alcohol, or cigarettes, or sex, or, you know, codependencies, relationships with people, whatever that is for you, that's going to be a way that you act out your need to feel safe.
Right.
And so I try to help people uncover those blind spots, come to terms with some of their limiting beliefs, heal them, and then create new behaviors around their life while not exiling old behaviors, because sometimes those old behaviors actually have energy that is beneficial for you and it can be repurposed in a new way if you understand it. Yep. And so that's what I try to help people.
All right, when we come back, our last segment, let's give some people these tools we were talking about and talk a little bit about yoga. Because, I mean, my gosh, this is so complicated. And I know Eskimo Pie sales are going to be through the roof after this show because they're delicious. I'm crazy about a Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, Alana Kessler joining us. Boy, yoga, meditation, nutrition, psycho-spiritual psychology, alternative wellness wellness methods. I can't even say the things that she uses. It's all. I don't know. It's all confusing. I just went into the lunchroom and I got an Eskimo pie. I feel much better, much better. Oh, they make them in mint and Reese's peanut butter. Oh, good stuff. Alana, okay, so I'm only joking. You know that. It's very complex because everybody is so different. Everybody's psychological state of mind and their spiritual state of mind, it is, or the lack thereof, it all plays a part on how they live their life, how they run their business, what is in their toolbox of, you know, their virtues and values and ethics and all these things that work into when you're an entrepreneur, every decision you make. And then one day, you know, COVID hits and all these things. I guess my question is, if there is such a thing as a toolbox, if you could just give a blanket statement of some ways that people can learn how to cope with the stress of today's crazy climate. So I'll just let you talk for a few minutes and I'll shut up.
I think really the biggest tool is to become okay with not having things planned so far in advance. And then recognizing that you need to create some sort of accountability for yourself where you feel good daily. So for me, it's making sure that I do my yoga meditation practice every day and I cook a healthy meal. Right? It doesn't have to be every meal has to be healthy. It doesn't mean that I have to, you know, meditate for 45 minutes and do yoga for 2 hours. It means that I just have to do it. And I need to recognize within myself that I did something that made me feel good. And that feels really good. And then commit tomorrow to do it again. Hmm. And that's really it. It's just every day, just keep dropping that coin into the bucket of accountability, consistency, commitment, savoring that it feels good. And then committing to do it again the next day, either the same thing or add another thing, something super small, nothing too crazy. And just make sure that you are doing at least one thing every day that is aligned with you feeling good about yourself, essentially. So, and to me, that creates a really good foundation.
So you in your life somewhere got to this point where you thought, you know what? This works. I've finally found something, three letters, called joy. And you have decided, mm-hmm. I want to share this joy with others. And I think that I can take my toolbox of, you know, all these different things I talked about there, nutrition and yoga and meditation and psychology, and I can help people. How does your business work? Do people call you and you coach them through that? How does it work?
Yeah. I just want to say one thing about joy. So the one thing I realize is that joy doesn't always mean you have to be happy. And I think that was the biggest lesson.
Wow.
Was learning that you don't have to be happy to feel joy.
Right. I got it. Tell us how the business works.
So the way that people can find me, the way that I coach people is that I have a couple of different options. So I have a community option, which is a 28-day challenge that people can join. And with that, you get actionable, applicable steps and tools that build on themselves day by day to create a foundation of wellness around nutrition, around your relationship to yourself, around yoga and meditation. And when you join that, you also get a community group and you also have access to my live meditation classes and yoga classes and coaching calls.
Okay.
So that's one option. And then the second option is the concierge one-on-one coaching, where if that's something that you feel or anyone feels that they have the luxury of investing in, they can send me an email and I set up 30-minute complimentary discovery calls with people. Okay. And I learn about them and we talk and we see if we're a good fit to work together.
Well, you talked about life is energy. And so I'm going to play for you Good Vibrations on the way out. BeWellByAK.com. Reach out to Alana Kessler if you're like me and you just can't control yourself. Alana, thank you very much. It was fun.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Week. She's giving me the I'm backing up.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.